When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Hans Shot First Podcast.
They don't know it, I'm telling you.
We'll be talking in-depth about common movie moments.
From my dead body.
With the mix of all things pop culture along the way.
Yeah, all Scott.
Okay.
Welcome everyone to Hans Shot First. I'm Jeff, joined as usual by Scott and Alex. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Today we're talking about clerks.
Yeah, sure?
I forgot how we do this.
You sure?
We're doing a regular episode today and we're talking about clerks. I'm supposed to be here today. All right.
Mm-hmm.
This movie came out in 1994, written and directed by, and starring Kevin Smith, also starring Brian O'Halloran, Jeff Anderson, Jason Mewes, and other people who didn't go on to have to be in his movies. Marilyn Gigliotti? Lisa Spooner?
Hey, Gigliani.
Scott Mosier. Walter Flanagan. David Klein. What's cool story about him? He's the DP, and he's like doing Mandalorian episodes and stuff now. So good for him.
Yeah.
All right. So this is my selection, and just giving you guys a heads up, I will be doing my next movies. I'll be doing will be all Kevin Smith movies. So we'll go through his.
How are we gonna do Dogma?
I think it's just on YouTube at this point. We'll have to find out. But okay, anyway, the history with this movie is, for me anyway, I did not see it in the movie theater. I always heard about the name, and it was such a weird name, Clerks, but never saw it. This is until, when you mentioned Dogma, I went and saw Dogma with some friends, and everyone kept in the movie theater, people were like whispering and laughing at least all these inside jokes, and I had no idea what people were talking about. And then afterwards, I asked my buddy, and he goes, "Oh no, this guy makes other movies, Clerks and Mallrats and Chasing Amy." I'm like, "Oh, I've heard of all those movies, but I've never seen them." So the next day, I went to Blockbuster and rented all of them, and yeah. So and then I became a big Kevin Smith fan for the longest time. Alex, what's your history with these movies or this movie?
I believe I saw Mallrats first, and that's really what got me into Kevin Smith movies. And then I don't know how, but I heard it's like, oh yeah, Clerks was his first movie, and it kind of ties in to Mallrats a little bit because of the funeral scene, and they mentioned that in Mallrats. Actually, that's kind of the whole thing why Claire Forlani is in the show, right?
What's the reason? Yeah, she's at the funeral, right? I don't remember now. It's been a while.
No, Mr. Svenning, Michael Rooker, had the girl from the funeral that died on the show, but somebody
That's
mentioned
right.
that, yeah, she, the camera adds 10 pounds, so she died mid-backstroke. And that's the funeral that they went to in Clerks.
That's okay. Right, yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. I was not expecting this movie to be all in black and white when I first rented this. But I was pleasantly surprised. The writing is solid. The humor was all there. It's like, okay, I can see how the same writer-director did, you know, Mallrats. So, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Scott.
I do not remember whether I saw Clerks or Mallrats first. I do remember watching Clerks with your brother and probably Alex and Chris, I would imagine. Just sitting on the floor in somebody's bedroom. It might have even been your bedroom, Jeff. I don't know. Watching it, and yeah, thinking it was great. As we'll get into it, it's kind of a I don't know if weird is the right way to put it, but definitely a niche bit of movie pop culture for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It was one of those when the 90s, when all these independent movie film school students and all these guys started doing their own thing with Kevin Smith and Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez and what's his face? There's a bunch of these guys, right? Kevin Smith never made it as big as any of those guys, but he still had a voice early on in the 90s and throughout the 90s, and it was interesting. And never hearing people talk like this, which is just interesting in movies, which I liked. And the whole backstory about how he sold all his comic books and did everything his own, which is amazing. Like today, everyone does this on their phone, but he actually had to get film, and hence the reason it's in black and white, because color film was way more expensive.
No budget for this movie at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like we talk about like using hockey sticks as boom mic holders and just things like that.
Oh, he was actually working at the store that they filmed at.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's wild.
All that stuff. Yep. So if you guys are interested in that, which I think most people are, who've seen this, I think you kind of go down the Kevin Smith rabbit hole, but listen to his documentaries and stuff, and it's pretty interesting how he financed this and how he even started making it and all that, which led to his mini empire, I guess. I don't know. His View Askew universe.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely carved out something for himself.
Yeah,
with this, which in a way is would we send any of his stuff up in like a space capsule or something? I don't know, but he was like the nerd voice.
So
in a way,
it's definitely the nerd voice. Yeah. I mean, he's talking about Star Wars, and no one talked about Star Wars, right? Like that. Like in real life, they did, but in movies, right? You wouldn't reference it. That was cool. Like these guys are talking about the stupid shit that we talk about. And Salsa Shark and just stupid things like that is good. All right. Well, as usual, in quotes, since we haven't done this in forever, we're going to talk about our 7 favorite items from the movie. I will go first, and just a scene. I forgot about this till I saw it, and it's just a stupid cutaway that makes me laugh every time. And it's the berserker guy in the parking lot singing his
rap.
Number 6,
way higher for me.
Oh really?
Yeah.
So you guys talk about it more, but just
berserker.
Like, pretty girl,
Olaf metal.
So like
this is metal face.
30 years down the road, like the I think the funniest part of that whole bit, the where is he supposed to be from?
Russia,
Moscow. Russia. I think he says Russia.
Moscow. Okay.
Moscow.
Russia. The like before it was the like would you like to make some fuck basic? But no, just. I like the way that he like hunches over like he's yelling at a mic, like so some of his body language is pretty funny now, but the berserker.
Did he just say making fuck?
Fuck. Yeah. Oh, God.
All right.
Still holds up.
Olaf, berserker. Show him your metal face.
Come on, just, man.
Yeah. Jason's like commentary on it was whatever. Oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, number 7.
My number 7 is the fucked up View Askew animation at the very beginning of the film.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. I forgot about that.
It's like, oh, okay. I mean, for like a college level, college student animated thing, it's actually pretty good. Like the drawings and the motions going very well, but the subject matter. It's like, what the hell is going on here? What's the deal with this? So I'm glad they changed it eventually. I mean, I think they kept the clown for a bit. And I looked into the trivia a bit, and I guess they kind of made that clown into another indie movie for Brian O'Halloran, where he plays the titular, you know, clown in a much more depressing movie.
It's vulgar, right?
Yeah, that's the one. I think that's the one.
Yeah, that's with his other buddy who's not in this movie, but he's in the other. He's Steve Dave. He's not Steve Dave. He's the one who says, "Tell him, Steve Dave," or vice versa.
Yeah. Tell him, Steve Dave.
Yeah, and Walter Flanagan, he's the guy who did the animation for that, what you're talking about. And he plays like six different parts. Wait, did you guys ever, just go back, have you guys ever watched Comic Book Men? Or did you watch it when it was on in the
I might have seen teens. A couple, but yeah, I do not remember it.
Yeah, so it was the guys, it was basically Clerks at Kevin Smith's comic book store. So it was in Red Bank, New Jersey, and it was his store that he owns, and it was Walter Flanagan, that guy we're just talking about, I can't remember his name now, the two Tell Him Steve Dave guys, and then a couple other guys, and they're just running Kevin Smith's comic book store, and they're just, it's basically Clerks, because they're just, like, making fun of customers, and real stuff happens, but they are just kind of dicks to each other, and it was just pretty funny. So I recommend that if you guys haven't seen it. It's, I don't know where you can stream it now. It used to be on AMC after, like, The Walking Dead, back in its heyday, and I don't know. Or is it still having a heyday? I don't know. Every time I see a commercial, it's for a new Walking Dead show, so
who knows? That's true.
All right, Scott, number seven.
All right, my number seven is probably the thing I quote the most from this movie, so I had to include it. And it's the very beginning when they find that gum is jammed into the lock, which conveniently, according to the trivia, was how they explain away the fact that the windows, the shade shutters are closed in the inside the store because they were filming in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that a set of thing out there, but it was the bunch of savages in this town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still use that to this day. Classic line. Again, another Randall line, which according to trivia, Kevin Smith had originally casted himself as Randall, which is why Randall gets all the really good lines.
Yep, that's a good way of writing himself out of a situation, right?
Yeah, clever.
Yep. So, all right, so on to my number six, and this would be Jay's foul mouth in this movie. I forgot. He just shows up. Fuck you, Al. Fuck anything that moves. He just starts screaming out random shit. Like, what the fuck? And it made me laugh. I don't know why. And
look at the very end. He calls him a fag on the way out.
He's having, like, this talk with them. I don't know, man. I see you bring you shit like that. That's pretty cool. Let's get out of here with this foul mouth or this faggoty ass. Whatever. He just starts throwing out every single curse word in the world. Like, Jesus. Anyway. Jay's foul mouth cracks me up.
Yeah, for some reason, yeah, it's in mostly endearing with Jason Mewes. Like, it's one of those things. Like, yeah, not great acting in this movie, but he makes it work.
Yeah, I agree. I think his best is in Dogma. I think he's pretty good in that movie. Acting wise,
it's funny. Like, he definitely gets better, like, in the Kevin Smith universe as they go along.
Yeah. All right, Alex, number six.
My number six is Berserker, so I'm sure it's still higher on Scott's list. So, I'll save it for him.
All right, Scott, number six.
Number six is Jay and Silent Bob. We talked about how Kevin Smith had carved out this niche for himself in the movie pop culture and in nerd culture. Just these, like, kind of dorky, hide reality is not the right word because this isn't quite Tarantino, but still people that can only exist in a movie. There's something very charming about these two schmucks that just just hang outside the whole time.
These two lovable drug dealers.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, of course, Kevin Smith, you know, doesn't say anything until it's the very end, which we'll talk a little more about later. But it's funny as, like, they're kind of the connective tissue of the movie here, between the two stores next to each other.
Yeah. All right. On to my number five, and this would be the customers montage when they're complaining about all the different customers and the milkmaids and the idiot. What do you mean? What do you mean? This guy has no ice. I have to drink this coffee hot. I found it hilarious because I was just coming off of working at Disneyland, and we would sit there and just make same thing. How idiots and McDonald's, like, you just, once you work with people, once you're a clerk, you deal with the same stupid questions, stupid shit all the time. So I found that freaking hilarious back then, and even today, this one, I think I was dying with the. You had that movie with that guy from that thing. Ooh, Navy SEALs. Yeah, that's
yeah.
The one that girl. Sorry, the girl. Like, do you have? You know, where do you have this or whatever? Where do you have new movies with the sign saying "new movies" right behind her? And that literally happened to me. I would stand in front of Matterhorn. Where's the Matterhorn?
Like, yes, that was a regular thing when I worked at Barnes and Noble a million years ago. Like, they have all the signs up on top of the sections, like. Where's the history section? And like, standing right in front of it, just the big signage. Yeah.
See this big, giant ass white mountain behind me? That's it. So, yeah, the customer montage. And I do like how when Dante's telling it, it's the same people as when Randall's telling it, which I'm sure it was on purpose. So, I like that. It was a little bit, good little touch.
All right. We're working for free, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get the minus worth. Yeah.
Alex, number five.
My number five is this movie taught me a few things about life. One of them is when you're dating somebody, just don't ask. Just don't have that conversation. You don't want to know. Seriously. No matter who you are in the relationship, whether your partner can do something amazing in bed or like how many partners that they had before. Just you don't want to know. Just don't. They have that big. I mean, it was hilarious, that big blowout fight that they had. I've slept with three people, including you. It's like, how many dicks have you sucked? 36, including me. 37. I'm 37.
Oh my god, I'm gonna be nauseous. Every time I teach you, we're going to taste 36 other guys. I have this higher on my list. It's freaking hilarious. But I remember Chris Rock did a skit on what you're talking about, too. And it might have been on that his big infamous HBO one. So, yeah, don't ask. Because she can say two. You'd be like, two?
Yeah.
Because that's how you were raised.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah, like, mileage has to vary on that stuff. But, yeah, overall, you're probably better just not knowing. Yeah. Kevin Smith, he goes back to that same theme in Chasing Amy.
Well, that movie is based around that whole theme. Well, don't ask.
Yeah, I don't think there's really anything of that nature in Mallrats.
No, not really.
So, but at any rate, like, Kevin Smith hadn't gotten that completely out of his system yet, so he obviously had an axe to grind with that particular topic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some catharticism.
All right, Scott, number five.
Number five. Speaking of learning things about life, that would be Snowball.
Beautiful, man.
It's the first time I think I ever learned about anything like that. Yeah, raunchy, explicit. The, yeah, I don't know. Like
docking and Portuguese handshakes.
And yeah, it's
Cleveland steamers and whatnot.
And then we got a job where we worked at, and then
And a few years later, though, Snowball would be like it's like Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Level,
like, seriously.
Yeah. That was very funny. And at the time, pretty edgy. To bring that up in a movie.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, according to the trivia, he actually did have a hard time getting it rated R. So, I appreciate that.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, I was gonna say between that and then just them reading off the titles of the the porn movies later. Jesus.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I remember hear people would. People would say that term, you know what that is? I'm like, no. And they'd say, oh, that's from a movie. But I never, and then until I saw Clerks, I'm like, oh, this is where everyone's been getting this from.
And then we learned about, anyways.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say, don't do it.
But now the listeners are going to want to know.
Yeah. One of these days, we'll unveil where we used to work and talk about that. That'll be a rated R. That'll be X rated. Han shot first after night.
After dark. Yeah. Because we always film this at night. Or record at night. Like,
it'll be like the Late Late Show, but worse.
It'll be like, what comes after Carson Daly? That'll be... We'll be Safe Harbor. We'll have Safe Harbor. As they say.
All right. My number four is Hockey on the Roof. Obviously, soft spot for hockey. Like I said, that's one of the reasons I took to Kevin Smith's movies was that he was talking about Star Wars... And he had hockey, and that's my jam right there, right? So it was cool, even though, you know, the hockey is not much up there. It's just a couple shots, but I just love that idea. And then, but the guys getting together to go play some street hockey, it was just, that's what I did in the 90s. And I just love it. And then the whole stuff with the, was it Mosier coming up on the roof? And you can't look at you. You can't even pass and all that stuff. All the different, I love seeing all the different jerseys and
what was the reason Randall's for going wearing on the roof?
CCP. What?
What was the reason for going on the roof?
Well, there really was no reason other than that he was not supposed to work. He was supposed to go to the rink to play, but because he was working, he brought everybody over. There really was no reason. Randall goes, "How are you going to close the street off or something like that?" And he just says, "We're not playing in the street or in the, or in the parking lot. We're going to play on the roof."
So Randall was wearing a Soviet
CCP jersey. It was awesome. Yeah, I just, like I said, special place in my heart for hockey, and yeah, it was a fun scene. Alex, number four.
My number four is, you know, I know this movie was made in a very strict budget. It's very indie. Kevin Smith got a bunch of his friends to star and whatnot, but it... I mean, I don't think this movie would have worked if it was done not only through the studio system, of course, but if it was done with, like, better actors, I should say, because everything, all the people in this movie in particular feel, like, genuine. Like, he got actual people that could be, this could almost be a documentary. It isn't, and the writing's, like, how should I put this? Kind of... As Scott said, kind of not quite heightened reality, but it's not something normal people would say. But it almost feels that way. So everything that's rough about this movie actually helps it be more genuine and authentic.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like with Quentin Tarantino's dialogue early on too. Like, no one talks that way, but it's more like the way people talk than what most movies are, where you just say, like, it's... It feels more real, even though it's heightened, like you're saying. And I think the same thing here, where maybe they don't talk exactly like that, but they do talk about savages in this town and just talking about Star Wars and talking about whatever, relationships and everything. I just felt, yeah, it's just...
You're bringing up good. Disgusting stuff to your friends. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not to yuck somebody's yum.
Right.
But at the time, it was widely considered to be disgusting. Let's leave it at that. I do appreciate that, like, if you do again track them, they all become, like, much better actors. Maybe not. Jeff Anderson is about the same through everything that he's in, but like, definitely, yeah, Jason Mewes, and then Brian O'Halloran, Kevin Smith, because he went on to, like, act in other things that weren't even his own shit.
Yeah, Daredevil,
and he was fine. Yeah, he's in
Die Hard 4.
Die Hard, yeah. As, what was even that? He was a hacker, right?
The Warlock.
Warlock, yeah. So anyway, yeah, just interesting. It almost reminds me of what was the movie Scanners, where the same guy directed Bubba Hotep, and like you could just see like how much better he was.
Isn't Scanners Cronenberg?
Was that what am I thinking of then? Phantasm.
I could be.
I think it was Phantasm. Sorry, Phantasm.
Oh, okay.
That guy was also the guy that directed Bubba Hotep many years later. And he was, you could tell he'd like leveled up as a director.
Yeah, Scanners is Cronenberg.
Yeah, my bad. I meant to say Phantasm. It was Don Coscarelli, by the way.
Yeah. All right, where did we leave off? That was your number four, Scott?
No, I think it was Alex's.
Okay, so what's your number four?
Yeah.
My number four is... again, like this, as a nerdy kid growing up, I felt like this captured a moment in time of that kind of pop culture at the time, and it still holds up, at least for people of our generation. Although Clerks, like we hadn't me and Alex would not graduate from high school when we watched this, some of it, like having a job at the time, like coming back later and watching it, appreciated it more. But yeah, just the nerdy stuff. There is a little bit of not angst, but kind of listlessness, like the, you know, being stuck in a dead end job, that kind of hopeless feeling. Even though, as they point out at the end of the movie that we'll get to, that things aren't that bad off for Dante. I just felt like it captured a moment in time for like people like us. I always, think fondly of this. Like, it still holds up. So,
yeah, I was surprised.
Like, shoestring budget movie, even with the like questionable acting and some of the plot, but yeah.
Yeah, I have not watched this whole thing in a long time, other than seeing clips. And I was, it starts off slow, but it's good. I enjoyed it again. All right. Speaking of which, my number three has already been mentioned, but it's the 37. There's like six jokes like in a row there that just crack me up every time.
In a row?
Yeah, in a row. But am I 37? And then I'm gonna taste 36 other guys and try not to suck on did he take on the way to the parking lot. Hey, you, get back here.
Get back here.
Just that whole thing. And then the callbacks later, like when Randall shows up and he's teasing Veronica and whatever. Good stuff. It's hilarious. And this is what, now it's weird talking about it, but Kevin Smith talks about how this movie got picked up. Like, there was one supporter. It was like at some local film festival, and nobody was there, and there except for one dude. Whatever. He's like, oh, whatever. Yeah. I just wasted my money. And then, but this guy like pitched it and to these other people, and eventually kind of found a little bit of a life. And the guys at Miramax were like trying to tell Harvey Weinstein and everything, and he wanted nothing to do with it because he started to watch it, and they get to the cigarettes part and he just hates it. I don't want a preachy movie, blah blah blah. And then like the last day at the snowy one. What's the one in Colorado?
Telluride.
No, the Robert Redford Film Festival.
Redford Zone.
It's not the Redford. damn it!
It's the big one here. It's
Aspen. No.
God. Anyway,
Boulder, Steamboat Springs.
What the fuck? Anyway, I'll figure it out. Anyway, the guys who want like Harvey's people are like, they trapped him in there, and he was about ready to leave again, and then the 37 dick scene came up, and then He was laughing hysterically. It was the only voice you could hear, and then gave Kevin the money.
Sundance. And then
he did some bad stuff. Sundance. Thank you very
Which
much.
Which is not a place. That's why I was confused.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a cool story. Anyway, and then he turns out to be a really bad person. But anyway, he got this movie kicked off the ground. Alex, number three.
Segway.
Stop talking about him.
well, speaking of which, that fucking corpse. Corpse fucking.
Yeah. Oh, God.
The running, oh, man. Running joke for that is great.
Yeah, there's definitely some things that I missed in my earlier viewings that I caught this time around. So, when they have him on the gurney, of course, you can see the massive boner that's still the stiff.
Yeah.
The stiff's kind of stiff. But I didn't realize that they put the porno mag on top of him. On his feet at the very end. And then when they wheeled him into the ambulance, and what's her face is still there. Caitlin. Is in there with the corpse. But then I remember Snowball being around checking things out, but I never caught that he actually got in to the ambulance and he rode off with them.
Yeah, like, doesn't somebody put the hat on his boner too? Like somebody like covers it up with the hat or something, or hang it from his. Thought that happened.
Oh man, that was great. Like, who the fuck is in there? Somebody essentially raped Caitlin. It's like, whoa, she was just talking about doing all the work.
Yeah, she said she did all the work.
Like the was it the coroner? The doctor, whatever, where... So Randall makes an offhand comment about how his cousin died trying to go down on himself. Yeah. Then we find out the doctor, was the guy that, pronounced that death.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, and that doctor coroner's doing a terrible job pretending to write on that clipboard. It was so distracting. All right, Scott, number three.
Oh, at least they didn't have any raining scenes.
my number three is the berserker guy. Hold on. The love I have for you is like a truck. Berserker. Is this just I don't know if there's trivia for this. Like, did they have this guy just ad lib, or did Kevin Smith write this? I don't know, but it's brilliant. I cannot to this day see the word berserk or berserker come up without having the song play out in my head. even the word truck, even the word truck. I always think of this. So definitely left an impression on me. Just very non sequitur, even in this movie. And then of course it's Gold, the one girl. Did he just say making fuck?
Yeah. Then at the end credits, don't they play that song? They play Berserker?
They might. I don't remember.
Because I know they play, they're playing Chewbacca while they're talking about Star Wars.
Yeah.
What a Wookiee! But I could have sworn that on the end credits, they're like, oh shit, this is Berserker. And that's one of the other things that I never noticed.
Olaf Berserker.
Nah. No, come on, man.
All right. On to my number two, which is the Death Star talk. I love that. Like I said, I've never seen anybody else talk about Star Wars in a movie before. I mean, there were toys, like in E.T. and stuff, where they'd bring out Star Wars toys, or you'd see stuff in the background, but not the way. And yeah, then it was just like, that's right. There were innocent contractors on there. It's just the whole thing is genius. Props to him for that. And yeah, I love it. I do also just like, we like better Jedi or Empire? Empire. Jedi just a bunch of Muppets.
He's not wrong.
Yeah. Well, there were Muppets. Now there are CGI characters, so I don't know what's worse. He wants the Muppets back.
And that's
this movie's so old. How old is it? This is before the special edition. There you go. I also like when he's watching it in the video store and you just hear like this terrible space effects.
Yeah, generic space sounds.
Like, yeah.
Skywalker sound ain't gonna let you their library.
Yeah. You know what I was just watching? Me pull a can off an idiot's hand. No,
shut up. Oh, yeah. You just... and then fucking Dante eats the chips.
I know, that's gross.
Like, oh, that's fucking gross.
All right, that's my number two.
Sweaty Alex. Hand. Also, the Star Wars Return of the Jedi talk. More so because, as Jeff stated, other movies really didn't talk about talking about Star Wars, and that kind of like made me see the trilogy in a new light. Like before, I'd always loved the trilogy because I was a kid, I grew up with them, and it was Star Wars. But this one, after I saw this movie and they had that conversation, I started like analyzing the movies a bit more, which made me appreciate them more and what it took to write, direct, all the special effects. So it really, like, took my love of Star Wars, like, deeper, you know? Really made me a real Star Wars nerd after that.
Yeah, and if you think about it, I mean, at this point, Star Wars is just three movies and Return of the, and I guess a couple Ewok movies, but, like, there was no internet. There was no remakes. It was just three movies that are done. You just kind of, something from your childhood, like you said, you had toys and you had the movies and that was it. And you talked with your friends, but other friends grew up and didn't talk with it as much. So it was just kind of, if you were still into it, like some of us were, hearing somebody else talk about it was cool. And then you come out, I mean, internet's right here, right? 94, it's coming around. And then you find out, oh, there's more people like you. And then, oh, you went to see Clerks, they referenced it and everything. It's just really cool.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, number two.
Number two is, it's not as nuanced, you know, again, 30 years down the road, but I really like at the very end that Jay and to a lesser degree Bob are the voices of reason. Yeah. They're the ones that finally are able to convince Dante that he's being an asshole. Although, I mean, Randall does get to him a little bit earlier about like no one's forcing you to be here, dude. That whole argument. And are you guys going to talk about the fight scene?
I'm not, so feel free.
It's on my list, but like the fight scene's awful. But I can see why, because they're like, we can't have stunt people. We can't actually wreck anything, so we're just going to have just like lots of close-ups and stuff get tossed around a little bit.
Just like the Bourne Identity.
Yeah. as Alex earlier was saying, yeah, she seems like she does a lot of good stuff for you. And then he kind of steps in his own point by calling a fag on the way out. Then Silent Bob like speaks for the very first time and he basically says the same thing of like, yeah, a lot of women will cheat on you, but like if it seems like she just wants to like help you out, like it's basically just what he's saying. And then finally gets to Dante, like, yeah, this could be worse. I think he actually says out loud, like, I do love her, which is not great, but but it's like, okay, kind of a happy ending. Speaking of the ending, just real quick, you I know Jeff's seen it. Alex, have you seen the I don't know if it was the original ending, but now it's kind of like the official alternate ending.
Oh, yeah.
Or unofficial alternate ending. Yeah.
It's
just depressing as fuck. So I'm glad he didn't do that. Like, not everything is to have the mega happy ending, but it just, there's something about Clerks that's very depressing overall, for me anyway, and to have that ending just would have been too much. So...
Agreed.
I'm glad that they did kind of the happier ending here. But anyways, my number two, Jay and Bob being the voices. And is that the only time they go inside the store?
No, Jay goes in there and like steals shit a couple of times. Okay. Shoving Twinkies in his mouth.
Okay.
And just for those who don't know, the original ending is someone comes in and murders Dante. Like right after Randall leaves, someone comes in and shoots him. But yeah, I guess that was those guys who originally saw the movies, like, this ending doesn't work for this movie. You just don't know how to end your movie. That's why you did this. And then that's when they just came up with, just cut it. As soon as Randall leaves, the movie's over. Just cut it and play the music and you're done.
Yeah. Hey, you're closed.
All right. Well, my number one is Dante and Randall. Like, I forgot how good their chemistry is here, how good they are. I mean, out of these movies, it's Jay and Silent Bob that everyone talks about. But the real duo here, which I almost want more movies with, which I know there are more. But I do like Clerks 2. I have not seen Clerks 3, and I don't think I will. But
same.
Yeah, just Dante and Randall, and I think they're both... They act well. The dialogue just back and forth and snappy and just really good. And just them, like I said, Randall kind of picked, or Dante being a little bitch, and Randall just giving it to him. But they're both, they're made for each other and just as friends. And just, I just, well, every scene when they're together and they're just talking about shit, I just love it. And
yeah, and to be fair to Dante, yeah, being a bit of a bitch. Randall's just like nonstop, just being a dick pretty much for the whole movies. Like,
yeah, I was talking about more about with the girls, like about Dante just always complaining about Caitlin and just.
Well, I mean, like Dante's even like a, or like he, Randall's like a dick to Dante too. For
yeah, I know, but that's busting balls with your friends.
Yeah, no, I'm it definitely works. I'm just saying, like, they're both very flawed characters as well.
Oh yeah. That's what I said. They're made for each other.
Yeah, yeah.
I do like when they put the wedding announcement in the magazine or the newspaper. And then, like, Dante calls to see if it's an error. Like, oh, that's so bad. But I can see him doing it. An Asian design major.
Yeah, they keep mentioning that he's an Asian design major.
Yeah. Like, is he a major in Asian design, or is he Asian person who's a design
yeah,
major?
Yeah, a design major that is Asian.
Yeah. But yeah, Dante and Randall, best part of the movie for me. Alex?
Well, for me, my number one is just a solid writing, like right off the bat. Not only do the jokes land, but Kevin Smith is really good at throwing in callbacks to things that... like made me laugh out loud more than like the main jokes, which is a large part which why this movie works and why it still holds up.
Agreed. Yeah, they're small. One of the things, what quotes I have as movies do is, we have this house is old and we have old fluorescent bulbs everywhere, and every time I deal with them I just tell myself, be careful, those things have filled with stuff that give you cancer. I just get it from this fucking movie. Weird shit that I quote. Mm-hmm. Give me a porno magazine. They draw the biggest titties in there. All right. Scott.
Number one is the Death Star contractors conversation. So it's pretty much covered it, but
just personal politics.
Yeah, just stop thinking about it. Like, yeah, like a shitload of like innocent people did die. Yeah. But what are you gonna do? They're the Empire. Who cares about them?
If you listen to, I think it's the commentary on Attack of the Clones, George Lucas like calls us out, and he goes, "So in the movie with." He says Jay and Silent Bob, but in the movie Clerks and Jay and Bob are talking about the Death Star workers. These are who they're talking about, and to those stupid wasp, whatever is on Attack of the
Clones. Yeah. Geonosis or whatever.
Yeah.
No. Nah.
Negative.
So no. I have a couple honorable mentions, and they're negative, so that's why I brought them off. I thought... The weakest link in the movie is Veronica. I think she stumbles over her lines like almost every single time. It's kind of annoying where the other people, they all make mistakes, and obviously they only probably did one or two takes, and that's it. I just felt she was pretty bad. And then what cracks me up is in the salsa shark scene, they cover the logo of the salsa can, but then like behind him is an entire rack of liquor store candy and chips with nothing blocked out. And I just like, what was the point?
Yeah. Well, maybe back in like cracks me up when it was 4x3 and grainy. And yeah.
No, it wasn't like it was at the edge of the screen. It was right there. So I guess maybe Tostitos had an issue, but nobody else did, or I don't know. It just seems like it was one of those things where independent filmmakers, oh yeah, we probably can't show that because we'll get in trouble, but not realizing the background or something. I don't know. Any honorable mentions for you guys?
So you mentioned people flubbing lines. The speech that Jay gives at the end when he goes,
yeah,
oh, I fucked that up. And then he keeps going. That was actually him like fucking up his line reading. But Kevin Smith was like, he's a stoner anyways. It makes sense. So he just kept it.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Alex, any?
No, not really. I think we talked about most everything.
All right. Well, it's time to rate it. Is that what we do? Yeah, we rate movies around here.
Yeah.
We rate on a scale of 1 to 7, 1 being garbage and 7 being perfection.
Mm-hmm.
I will go first, and I will give this movie a 6. I'm surprised it holds up. As a kid of the 90s, a special place in my heart with the hockey and being a clerk and all those other things. Very relatable for me, so I give it a 6. Alex.
I will also give this a 6. Just because of how impactful it was personally and rekindling my love of Star Wars. Even though it's not the cleanest movie in terms of acting and writing, but it just works. Watch it. Go watch it, people. If you feel like watching a classical black and white movie, watch Clerks.
Yeah. This is Casablanca, 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
All right, Scott.
Also 6. Basically, you guys have said, there's still a lot of charm there. And certainly we appreciate it more than perhaps other people might. But 6.
Right. Shout out to the soundtrack. We didn't really talk about that, but that's a good soundtrack for the 90s.
Yeah. What was it? Soul Asylum and what else? Who else is on there?
Olaf,
of course. Olaf.
All right, and for our crossover topic, we're doing our top rooftop scenes from movies, TV shows, video games, and etc. Regards to the hockey on the roof. I will go number first. My list got cut off here, goddamn it. I did it on my phone, but it's not showing on my PC. Hold on. Okay. My first one is, why is it there?
Your number 5.
Yeah, my number 5 is King Kong. So, the end of King Kong. He is on the roof.
Yes, that's a good one. I mean, no one's ever seen that movie, but...
Hey, it's also black and white.
It's true.
King Kong to his end. On the end of...
In the truly, it was beauty that killed the beast.
Alex, what's your number 5?
My number 5 is The Room. And their various rooftop scenes. Okay. But I really like the one where they're tossing around the football. For whatever reason.
That's what American men do, right? Let's throw a football.
That's right. You are crushing me like a cheese sandwich.
Everybody is betraying me.
I haven't seen the Room in years. I'm due for another watch.
I've never actually sat down to watch the whole
thing. Oh man! All right, we gotta watch it. I'll get it in 4K Blu-ray.
Well,
all right, Scott, number 5.
Number 5 is Almost Famous. The Billy Crudup. I am a golden god.
I am a
Golden God.
I've never seen that movie.
It's good. I've heard it's good. I'm a Cameron Crowe fan. It's definitely my favorite.
I'm a Wes Craven fan.
Yeah, Wes Craven. It's definitely my favorite. Blanchett. Not Kate Blanchett.
Beckinsale.
Not Beckinsale. Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. Actually, not Kurt Russell's kid, but Goldie Hawn.
Kate Hudson.
Thank you. It's definitely her. My favorite role of hers. Yeah, it's good. But yeah, that scene is pretty funny. Spoilers: he's super high as he's up on this rooftop yelling that he's a golden god.
I never would have guessed. Oh wait, is Cameron Crowe the one that fights around the world?
Fighting around the world. Yes, Cameron Crowe famously, was a movie director and underground cage fighter.
I knew it.
All right. My number four, I'm talking about one scene specifically, but there's lots of this movie with this person on a rooftop. It's Dark Knight, but specifically just the very beginning of the movie, the heist scene when the clowns zip line down to the roof of the bank and they're badass unlocking everything. Just that's the scene I'm calling out specifically, but obviously it's a Batman movie, so Batman's on lots of rooftops.
Every other scene, yeah.
But none of those are really that great. I really more is the Joker and his gang on the rooftop of the bank at the very beginning.
Not going with the fight scene in Dark Knight Rises with the Catwoman.
No, not going with that one. I don't even remember that one.
That one is one. It's one of those. It's a lot. It has a lot in common with the big fight scene in what's the second new Star Wars movie? I cannot. My brain.
The Last Jedi.
Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Was it The Last Jedi?
Yeah. The Last Jedi. The big fight scene in the Snoke's room. Anyway.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway, Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. I love the whole bank heist scene. But this, starting at the rooftop, that's the first one of the first things I thought of with this one. So, what's number four? Alex.
My number four is from a video game, and it's actually almost the entire video game is set on the rooftops, and that would be Mirror's Edge.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. It's a first-person parkour type of game, and at first when it came out, it's like, I don't know if this is going to work, first-person like gymnastics and stuff, but surprisingly, the controls are pretty intuitive. Once you get used to it, you're running around all over the place looking for those red lines.
Parkour!
Yeah, parkour!
Pretty nice. I don't know what it is, but it sounds nice.
It's a big deal.
All right.
Yeah. Scott, did you play? Wait. What? Sorry, as an aside, Scott, did you play that? Because I know you get motion sickness.
I watched people play it.
Okay. Yeah, because even for me, at some point, I was like, oh, this is a bit much. I had to take breaks.
They're weird camera angles when you were like sliding under stuff. Yeah. But what is that?
Game sounds familiar to me for some reason.
Yeah, Mirror's Edge.
But why would I know this? I guess I don't.
You might have had it, Jeff. You might have played it.
I you know what? I believe that the main character is an Asian design major.
I think you're right, Alex.
Then she becomes a courier.
Yeah. So my number...
Because she has amazing parkour skills.
My number four is a little indie film... but it did have a couple of action sequences, and it would be The Matrix. The first time they go full bullet time, the slow motion camera.
Bunch of rooftop scenes in that movie. Actually,
a bunch of but the one where they really
Trinity, like, help.
Yeah. Probably the most iconic one though, when he's limboing under bullets.
Yeah. But even the very beginning of the movie, when she's running away and she like jumps up super high in the air.
Yeah. So it's not the first time they do that camera work, but
that's not. Well, that was indoors.
Yeah, that was. This was specifically roof, though. So.
No, at the very beginning, she's on the rooftop and she jumps away from Agent Smith.
No, oh, the Agent big Smith. Jump. Oh, yeah. The big long jump. Yeah, not when she does the karate kick.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah,
no. The ninja kick. Actually, I think that qualifies as a ninja kick.
And then him at the, when he's learning, when he's in the Matrix and he's learning. And
yeah, no, no, there's lots of scenes.
Yeah. I'm just thinking out loud, though, but yours is probably the best one, I agree.
Yes.
Very good. All right. My number three is starring Gozer the Gozerian and a giant marshmallow man.
Damn it. That's good.
It's Ghostbusters. Nobody steps on a church in my town.
Ray, if somebody asks you if you're a god,
you say yes.
You say yes.
Into Ghostbusters. Crossing the streams, and Gozer, and the Marshmallow Man, and all of that stuff. I have not seen Ghostbusters in like 10 or 15 years. Maybe it's time. I won't watch it in the new ones, but...
Have we reviewed it? If not,
I'm
we should.
Sure.
We talked about Ron Jeremy being in the movie a bunch.
Yeah, I don't know. I was gonna say it was meant to be a good Halloween one, but we've probably done it.
Yeah. Oh, potentially to the other lesson we can look into it. All right. Yeah. Alex.
I did not enjoy Ghostbusters Afterlife. Anyways. My number three is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh.
Specifically when Raphael was getting the shit beat out of him by the Foot Clan.
Okay.
I mean, he was holding his own, but he just got overwhelmed and he got dropped from said roof through the shop.
I would have gone with the fight at the end, but that's good too.
I went for like an emotional gut punch because, man, seeing Raph fight all those guys, like, oh no, Raph!
The three of you might have overpowered me with the loss of but one.
The Shredder fight was also badass. But for me, that ref fight, ref beatdown was great.
Yeah, and the fact that you kind of see it from a distance too, right? Don't you see him?
Yeah, it's a cool shot. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah.
All right, Scott, number three.
My number three is something from my childhood. It's something that my mom is a big fan of this like movie and franchise, and I've actually kind of see plays with her of this. Well, not plays, performances, I should say. It'd be Mary Poppins. The famously... Ooh, the
Step in Time.
Yeah, the chimney sweep.
Not kick her in the cut?
Not kick her in the cut. Honorable mention. Honorable mention for Run, Ronnie, Run. Which is... that is an amazing sequence as well. I'm surprised that one didn't get nominated. But, the whole step in time, that whole sequence. It's still, that whole sequence still holds up too, with like all the silhouettes and they still have the limited... there's no CG, so they're still using like matte paintings for the backgrounds, and there's still something very charming about the that it's obviously like it's like aggressively a set, but all the chimneys and stuff, but it still really works, and it's a really cool number. So the Mary Poppins, the whole chimney sweep sequence.
Very good. Not a thought of that. It's a great one. All right, my number two is from Shawshank Redemption, when they're up there tarring the roof, like redoing the tar, they just having a beer and listening to some music. It's very good scene.
Oh man, it's every time I watch that, it's like, damn, I need a beer.
Yeah.
Just make it look so good, better than any damn commercial I've seen.
It's like Silverado when they keep drinking the whiskey. He looks so damn good, but you're like, no, that had to be so gross.
It's like, oh, that's whiskey.
It's like, they make it seem like so refreshing. Like,
yeah.
Ah. Oh, and also the Kurgan almost takes off Tim Robbins' head right before that happened.
Yeah. The Kurgan?
Yeah.
All right, Alex.
Do you trust your wife? What are you talking about? My number two is from another video game. This is Enter the Matrix. From unbiased the 2000s. Opinion. It's the rooftop scene as well. More so because, personally, in another life, I was in video game development, and I actually got to work on the game, specifically that scene, and recreating it for the game.
You did, so, did you do Neo's Jiggle Physics?
I did not. I was doing mostly the camera work for the scene. So I had to make sure all the cameras were looked the same, very similar to the movie, animating and in the same motions and everything, you know, and edited in the in game engine also. So I was very proud of that.
Yeah, cool.
That I got it as close as possible.
Do you remember what the engine was? Was it proprietary or was it?
No, it was.
I mean, when was this? Early aughts, mid aughts,
early 2000s.
Yeah, what would it, like Unreal. Early aughts.
No, it was proprietary because I know we won an award for best tech for the PS2 because of all the Smiths that we can have on screen at the same time.
Just like in the movie. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, because of the Burly Brawl. We had to recreate that too.
Was this the movie that came out before the sequels and it was kind of like it told the story that was canon and everything, or am I thinking of a different Matrix video game?
Oh no, you're right. I misnamed it. Enter that what you're talking about is Enter the Matrix. I worked on Matrix Path of Neo. They kind of back to back. They blur a little bit, but yeah, I worked on the Path of Neo. That's the one. And that's the one that went through pretty much all three movies plus a little bit of other side stories in between to fill in the gaps.
Gotcha. And Enter the Matrix, that was like when they introduced Jada Pinkett Smith's character and other stuff, right? I think in that
video game. Yeah. That is correct.
All right. Scott, number two.
My number two is also Ghostbusters.
Nice.
Anything to add? Oh, one question. Does busting make you feel good?
Busting, it I'm going to say it does.
All right. Number one is Godfather Part 2 when Vito is tracking down, I forgot, the original boss of Little Italy or whatever he's doing there, and tracks him down his apartment.
That's right. He was going full Batman.
Oh, yeah, and then he ditches the gun.
Then later, after he kills him, he then goes back up there and ditches the gun and all that. So just the Godfather 2 scene, the whole parade's going down there and following him on the rooftop. That's
What am I beak?
With all the DNA evidence that they left on there, I'm surprised they didn't catch him.
Yeah. I'm sure the cops were like, it's super eager to like make sure there was no more violence in Little Italy.
Yeah.
The Irish cops.
I thought I locked all you giddy hoots up. All right. Alex, number one.
My number one is Die Hard. I love that helicopter explosion at the top and John McClane jumping with the hose in between him like an oversized karate belt jumping off the side of the roof. Oh, fantastic. Just great shot. And I finally got to see like the behind the scenes of how they shot the miniature helicopter in the with the facade of the building and everything. Awesome.
Okay, have we talked about this? When he's jumping and right before the explosion goes off, something like flies up.
You know I thought it was just extra sparks. Like sparks first and then the big explosion. Is there something? I'm going to have to take a closer look now.
I always thought it was like part of whatever it was that set off the explosion. That's what it was, but I don't know if it was supposed to be in the shot. I don't know. I've always wondered about that. All right, nice pick.
I don't know.
Scott, number one.
My number one is Blade Runner.
Damn, that's good.
The whole final act culminates in the chase. Deckard is terrified. Arguably Harrison Ford's best acting, I would say. There's very little dialogue. It's just him being harried this whole time, and definitely Rutger Hauer's best performance. And he winds up saving him, just because he didn't want, that's not how he wanted to end his life, like ending another life. And then he has that speech, and there's the cool Vangelis soundtrack, and then Edward James almost shows up, and it's, the whole thing is great. And I love it so much. So Blade Runner, like tears in the rain.
It's still such a great line. Awesome.
Nice. All right. Any honorable mentions? I have a couple.
Anytime anybody spots Godzilla from a rooftop,
runs to the rooftop. Godzilla 2000. why does he always come to save us?
Oh, yeah, that should have been my number one.
Best ever.
So, Judgment Call. Jeff, you probably don't remember, but the last fight scene in the Cowboy Bebop movie. That's like a platform. You know, like, it's not really a roof, right?
Yeah, it's not at the very top of the tower.
Yeah, okay.
That they're at.
Yeah, that was like the very first thing I thought of, and I was like, I don't think it counts. Okay.
All right, I have two. One is the Dawn of the Dead remake, when they're up there just sniping zombie celebrities. I thought that was pretty fun. Yeah. And then, not only that part, later on when they're trying to give their buddy over to get him to rescue him with the dog and all that stuff that happens was cool. And then one little stupid one, but it popped in my mind, was in Best in Show, when they stop at that couple's house and the guy is just like making out with his wife or whatever, but when the boy like kidnaps their dog and is just on top of the roof,
Larry Miller.
And Larry Miller is like, I'll handle this. This is what I do for a living. You get down here right now before I gouge out your eye with my thumb. Just
yelling. I shit you not.
Yeah. So that's a very low stakes rooftop scene, but it always cracks me up. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else?
No. Not with my chin. Right.
Alex knows sports? No, wait. Alex knows sports.
Oh, shit. I'm Alex, and I like sports.
Sports ball?
Apparently, just say sports suck. Jeff is cursed, and all of his teams lost.
Yeah, it wasn't a good night for sports here in Southern California.
Kings, Lakers, what was the other stuff that you were watching?
There were just other sport games. But then the Angels lost as well, and...
And Lakers lost.
Yeah. The Lakers and Kings lost playoff games, and the Angels just, I mean, that's what they do. So I wasn't too worried about that. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. What about fucking Otani's interpreter taking all that money? That's crazy.
That is such a weird story.
Yeah. Because, what was I hearing? It's like, oh, they caught him and he stole a bunch of money. But it's like, oh, no, he's actually falling on his sword protecting Otani because it's Otani that has the gambling problem and not him. So who knows?
Like, I'll never be 100% convinced that isn't the case. But, like, I can't imagine Otani giving a shit about anything other than, like, baseball. I guess his wife now, but, like, so the whole story is very bizarre because, like, even if Otani is guilty, like, all the stuff that came out about Ipe is really weird about how he lied about all of his qualifications. He lied about having a degree from UC Riverside, like just like random stuff that he's like,
who would go to school in Riverside? He must be telling the truth.
So like their whole relationship was like kind of built on lies, but you know, Joey didn't seem to care. Like, it just, like, you have that much money, I guess you stop caring about, like, keeping track of it.
Yeah.
At least if you're an athlete. Jeez. Yeah. It's such a weird thing. Like, this whole time Otani's image has been absolutely spotless, and then this weird thing happens, which he could very well be completely innocent of. So.
Yeah.
I thought it's weird. I always thought this guy came with him from Japan. Like, he's just life. I know it's not, but that's what I always thought it was. The fact that he got him from the Angels makes me think the guy's a total scumbag and he did everything wrong, because the Angels don't do anything right. They give their pitchers drugs and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. So, wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, like the other part. Andy
Moreno couldn't even get a UCR grad.
Well, my conspiracy half-life theory is confirmed thing about all this is that now it all makes sense that Ari Moreno's been betting against the Angels.
There it is.
All this time. So that's why he's been sabotaging them. The one last thing I want to say about this is I don't know how much of this is just because it was going on in California. So sports booking is illegal in California for the most part, I think. But it's not legal in other states. So... Like, at that point, he'd embezzled, which is illegal everywhere. But the additional thing of like, this bookie that was under investigation, like, might not have been a thing if they were in... I don't know what states are illegal for this shit, but, like, we'll say New York is. Like, if this was happening with the Mets. It's again, the whole thing's bizarre.
Yep. But now it's time for NEM News.
Yeah.
It was
I literally forgot what we said there. I almost said it's time for Scott talks about movies.
I watched the first two episodes of Fallout.
Oh, same.
I enjoyed it. Enjoyed them, I should say. I think Ella Purnell, the Lucy character, is great. Walton Goggins always steals the show and everything that he's in. I care less about the other guy, but we'll see where going, because like there's definitely like questions about his character. So I'm curious to see where that's going. It's Fallout. It's ultra violent. I feel like they should play up the camp a little bit more outside of the vaults. But that's really more of like a wish thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with how they've been doing it. Just a lot of references to the actual game. I'm enjoying it. I will definitely finish it out. It makes me want a new Fallout even more. I saw a Reddit post today about how somebody wishing that they had skipped Starfield and made Fallout 5. Like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. I'm not gonna bang on Bethesda for doing this, because it's like, if you're a developer, who knows if it's even the same developer set, so this could be way off. But like, you need a break sometimes. we're not seeing another Fallout game for like a long time, which is unfortunate. Which is weird, because we've got all this hype for the show now. All that is to say that there's been the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, there's actually been a lot of really good adaptations for a lot of these video game properties. Not all of them, but quite a lot of them. I think we talked about Castlevania at one point with the animation.
God, so good.
Arcane was great.
Oh, that was awesome.
I'm really looking forward to, if they do a season 2 of that, who knows if that's going to happen. Probably not.
Did you ever watch the Dragon Age animated one?
I've not seen that one yet, but I hear that's good. I still haven't watched the Cyberpunk one, which I hear is also really good.
That one's amazing.
I know I'm missing a couple things here. The Witcher adaptation was fine. I still didn't finish the third season, I guess. Second or third season? That was fun. Just like swords and sandal, like kind of scratched that itch. I'm definitely forgetting a couple things here. Like the Sonic movies are fun. The latest Super Mario Brothers was fun.
You guys see Last of Us yet or no?
No, that's the one I'm missing. I have not watched that, but yeah, that one. I
haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, that, you know, that everybody is that I know likes that. It's definitely critically acclaimed. It's nice to see that it's less of a licensing tie-in these days, as more of an like there's something there kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of it is tapping into the zeitgeist of whatever the thing is. Against like Super Mario Brothers and Sonic, but yeah, those movies stand up. Which leads me to my very last point, which is that there was some exciting Sonic the Hedgehog news, which is that Keanu Reeves is going to voice Shadow the Hedgehog in the upcoming third Sonic movie, whenever that happens to land. So that'll be fun. For anybody that happens to see that, anyway.
Agreed.
That's it from me. Other than I don't know if I talked about finishing up Roadhouse, but I'll save that for another episode. Alex, anything you want to talk about?
I watched the Three Body Problem on Netflix. It's pretty good. It's pretty good hard sci-fi type of show. A little X-Files-y, very scientific. There's some spots where like the effects are very cheap, but then there's other ones where they look amazing. So I think they picked and chose where to spend their money wisely, for the most part. But it's an interesting show. I would give it a chance. If you guys are on the fence. Aside from that, because I am watching Fallout, I started playing Fallout New Vegas. For whatever reason, I haven't actually finished Fallout New Vegas, so I'm just starting from scratch. I think the last year's like Steam sale, Fallout New Vegas plus all of its DLC was on sale for like dirt cheap, like under $5. So I just got it all.
Yeah, New Vegas is my favorite. Also, they're doing the big console update on current gen this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So,
anyway.
Anyways, having a good time with that. And that's it.
Okay. Jeff, anything you wanted to go over?
No, I haven't seen anything. I'm sure I've seen a couple of things, but when I watch TV, I watch the old Roadhouse again. I got nothing. I don't know if I'm going to watch that. What's that video game you guys are talking about? Outcast? Fallout? Sorry.
Fallout?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'll watch it or not. I never played the video games.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
Trailer.
So I was interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll probably watch it and we'll see.
Give it a shot, because you don't really need to know anything about it, about the games and stuff. I mean, I'm sure you won't get a lot of the references, like what they use stim packs to heal in the game, and they also have those in the show. It's just like stuff like that. The rest of it is like you can kind of pick up.
Also, again, Walton Goggins, who's always
great. Awesome. The ghoul. Spoilers.
All right. Anything else?
I think I'm good.
All right. I think that's it. Thanks for listening, everybody.
We at Hans Shop First would like to thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to contact us on Facebook and Twitter at Hans Shop First. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are greatly appreciated and help us get more exposure. Once again, thanks for listening and supporting the podcast.